to keep an eye on, and he continues to look very impressive. I bring up the Cardinals because they announced today that Greg Holland, whom they have signed, is going to shake off the rust over this weekend. There are conflicting reports. So one of the beat writers said low A, which would be the Midwest League in Peoria. Another of the beat writers said he'll be in Florida at Palm Beach, which would make more sense to me, but who am I to doubt someone who writes for The Athletic? If all goes well, he will join the team on Monday and most likely assume the closer position. That's why they're bringing him on board. But as you and I were talking about, if you've seen Jordan Hicks pitch, this is a guy who has not thrown a pitch above a ball prior to this
year. That's incredible.
And breaks camp with the big league team. I think his future is definitely his present. He is a bullpen guy. Starting, it would be nice to see that stuff for two or three innings.
Don't
and then
mess with success.
The fourth inning, I think you'd have a major catastrophe on you. A major catastrophe on your hands, much like me trying to say the word catastrophe just was. But Cardinals fans, you know I will give credit where credit is due, and I think you've got a winner in Jordan Hicks. I told Alex this, I'm going to try to bring in the Baseball America Prospect Handbook from last season, and I will read you tomorrow on the program what they wrote about Jordan Hicks. I think he was number 28 or 27. He was just at the tail end of the list. He hadn't even pitched in Peoria yet, but they predicted some very good things for him, and those guys know a heck of a lot more about baseball than I do at this point. But that's enough baseball talk. Let's talk hoops. You know, I said that's enough baseball talk.
I was just going to say, I've never seen a 102-mile-an-hour sinker. It's quite something.
His stuff is freakish. Even in an era where virtually every team has nasty guys coming out of the bullpen, where everybody looks like the nasty boys from the Reds, big red teams in the 90s, his stuff is on a completely different level. His stuff is the type of offerings where you look and go, okay, I don't care if this kid hasn't pitched above a ball yet. That's big league quality. So we'll see. And I know there are Cub fans that are freaking out. The Cubs, by the way, struck out a couple more times against the Reds today. So they now have the record, the National League record, for most strikeouts in a five-game series or a five-game stretch to begin a season. 57 strikeouts. Baseball. See, 5 games down and 177 to go, right?
Panic
my
time,
math,
Todd.
157. Panic. Yeah. Bad math. Bad at math. If you missed our conversations with Mac McCausland and new Drake coach Darren DeVries during the 5 o'clock hour, the podcast will be available for you at KGYMradio.com. I'll ask the same question that I did at the beginning of the show tonight. If you're just joining us, who you got tonight? 319-366-1600. And are you, if you're an Iowa fan, rooting for the Maize and Blue tonight? 366-1600. You can also let us know using the Hertine and Stocker text line. Hertine and Stocker, located at 101 South Dubuque Street in Iowa City. This is a very lopsided game, at least through the lens of the odds makers in Las Vegas. They've got Villanova as a 7-point favorite, the largest spread of a championship game, I believe, in the last 6 seasons, and deservedly so. Villanova has covered in every game. They've been the favorite in every game since the beginning of the tournament, and they have covered the point spread all the way through. I think they've got a good shot at doing so again tonight. What, in your opinion, does Michigan need to do in order to make this, I think, a close game? You heard Max say earlier tonight, Michigan can win. He doesn't think they're going to, but he thinks they can win.
They have to shoot lights out, which is easier said than done against Villanova. Not Jay Wright's best defensive team, but they still play with intensity on that end of the court. Let me run through the tournament so far for Michigan. 61 points, 64 points, 99 points against Texas A&M, 58 against Florida State, and 69 against Loyola. They have to score at least, and I'm saying this very conservatively, 75 to 80 points for this to be a ball game, because Villanova, no matter what defense they're going against will score 75-plus points. And I'm just not convinced that, Michigan – they have to play offensively like they did against Texas A&M, which they've done one time through five games in the NCAA tournament. This is a whole different animal that they're playing this time around. And Mo Wagner is going to have to be as huge as he was against Loyola for Michigan to stay in this game. And Villanova has to have an off-night shooting, because no matter what Michigan does, if they make 10-plus three-pointers, it is game over. Give Villanova the trophy.
That is not a good strategy when your notes going into the game say the other team's going to have an off-night. Here's what we're going to need to rely on tonight. And also Villanova needs to have an off-night shooting. I completely agree with that, though, and so does most of the text line. Green Bay Dustin says, I'm a Hawk fan and will be cheering for Michigan, but if Villanova plays like it did Saturday, then it doesn't matter who anyone is cheering for. Cajun Troy is on the side of the underdog, so she's pulling for Michigan tonight. I don't see it happening. And maybe that's me giving the kiss of death to Jay Wright and Villanova, which I saw, if you've listened to this show, you know I'm not a huge fan of Will Cain and the Will Cain radio program that ESPN basically only put on the air because it was desperate, because Ryan Russillo announced very late in the process that he was not doing the radio show anymore, and so they needed a replacement for him. They were debating today, and I say debating loosely because they don't do that on his show, whether or not Villanova is a blue blood basketball program. Now, when you hear Villanova, you don't necessarily think of Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, but look at what the program has done over the last 25 years. You can go back to Raleigh Massimino, but Jay Wright got there, turned that program around, and for the last several years, and Iowa saw this up close and personal in the tourney a couple years ago when Villanova wound up winning the whole darn thing. They blew Iowa out of the bracket. Villanova's a very good team. Who cares if they're a blue blood? They are among the elite programs in the here and now. Why you have to be a blue blood, or what sort of honors get conferred with that title, I have no idea why that's germane to the situation, other than it's just a sports radio yakker picking out a subject in which he wants to yak about to fill a segment and maybe rile some people up. I just look at Villanova and I go, that's a great program right now. And I see no sign of a drop-off.
No, Villanova right now, as long as the current system in place, is taking advantage of the one-and-done system. And I say that because they're going against what a lot of the quote-unquote blue blood programs are doing, and they're not taking the one-and-done type players. What they're doing is they're taking the best basketball players and guys that want to be there, and the toughest basketball players and the best shooters coming out of high school, and they are really making some of these other programs, these quote-unquote blue blood programs like Duke and Kentucky and Michigan State, look really bad. Because right now the culture at that program in the here and now is better than it is at any other program in the country. Look at Duke the last couple of years. People were ready to write them in as the national champion because a couple of years ago they had Jason Tatum and a bunch of other five-star recruits to grow along with Marvin Bagley. And then this year, Grayson Allen. This year they had Marvin Bagley and Wendell Carter and a bunch of other great recruits to go along with Grayson Allen. And they have the most talent. Well, guess what? Villanova's tougher. Villanova's been there. Villanova shoots the ball better. And they disposed of Kansas, the team that beat Duke, as easily as we've seen a team in the Final Four get disposed of in the last 5 or 6 years, other than Oklahoma a couple years ago, against Villanova. So right now, Villanova's the cream of the crop as far as programs in college basketball, because Jay Wright is instilling what he wants to instill in his program, because he knows that he's going to have those talented players, maybe not one and done talent, but talented players for more than a couple years, like Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo and Ryan Archidiakono, guys that may not have a great NBA career but are really good college basketball players.
Now, Cajun Troy said she's rooting for the underdog, but she also prefers Jay Wright's style. I love his GQ style, the Villanova coach. The funniest thing about Jay Wright, and he, guy does look very put together on the sidelines. You can tell he does not buy off the rack at Sears, let's put it that way. But when they were playing Providence in the Big East Conference tourney, and Ed Cooley, the Providence coach, had an unfortunate situation in which the seat of his pants split. So he had to coach the remainder of the game with a Gatorade towel flapping behind, tucked into his waistband. Somebody tweeted that if that situation happened to Jay Wright, he would magically have a piece of material that matched the pocket square in his suit jacket that he would be able to wear. That's how good he looks. And he looks the part. He's down there on the sideline. And who cares what he looks like? He's a hell of a coach. Now, so is John Beilein. This is a guy who has never been an assistant coach in his life. He's been a head coach at the D3 and D2 levels and then made the jump to West Virginia and now at Michigan. Speaking of D3, and I know Scott and Mark were talking a little Division III athletics on the gym class earlier today, and if you missed that, their podcast is also available at kgymradio.com. But I thought this was worth passing along. It is National NCAA Division III week, and if you follow the NCAA Division III Twitter account this week, if you're a new follower to that account, they are donating $1 to Special Olympics for every new follower. So you can give them a follow at NCAA D3, and that would be three capital I's, the Roman numeral 3. So give them a follow at NCAA D3, and then maybe after a couple months or something, if you don't like the information that you're getting from them, or follow them and mute them right away. But if you follow them, they're going to donate $1 to Special Olympics this week. So I thought that was pretty cool and worth noting. And yes, I am now a follower of at NCAA D3 on Twitter. You can follow me at Todd Brommelkamp. You can follow Alex at AlexCoon523. It just reminds me I've got about 6 more shopping weeks before Alex's birthday.
It's right around the corner, Todd.
Need to get him a present. Is that after, before or after the NFL draft? After, right?
Oh, yeah, it's a month after.
So we'll know where your brother will be.
Correct.
Either camping with or hopefully playing for. So
either way, whether he's a draft pick or not, he's going to have to earn his way in camp. So okay. I think that's the correct verbiage.
Run out and buy some Cedar Rapids Titans gear for their newest free agent acquisition. Marvin Jones was talking to this radio host, and he started doing a little research on the name, and there you go. I think Gabe probably has a future that's a little bit better than playing for the Cedar Rapids Titans. Not that there's anything wrong with playing that level of professional football, but Alex's brother has an opportunity to play the game at the highest level.
His pro day's tomorrow.
Oh, it is?
His pro day's tomorrow. So the difference between him getting drafted and not drafted is completely on what he does tomorrow at about 9:30 a.m.
So how much sleep are you going to get tonight?
I don't know the answer to that question just yet.
Okay. I would be, and it's not like your state of mind is going to help or hinder him, but I would be a nervous wreck. I mean, that's a big day for you and your family, and we'll have a bunch of people here in Eastern Iowa holding a vigil in their mind for Gabe tomorrow. You said 9:30 tomorrow morning?
Yes.
What if you're more of an afternoon?
NFL Network's going to be there.
What if you're more of an afternoon person? Who is there? Anybody there that the NFL Network is there to see?
Anthony Miller, their wide receiver, is, we'll see where his stock is going to be on his, depending on his health. Jannard Avery is a projected third or fourth round pick. And their quarterback, Riley Ferguson, it could go anywhere between the third round to later rounds of the draft. So there's a few draftable talents there, and I think all 32 teams are going to be in attendance. Mike Mayock will too.
We'll find out. We'll get an update from Mel Kuhn Jr. tomorrow. Maybe he'll have some inside information on Gabe Kuhn's future prospects with the NFL draft. 6:22, reminder coming up bottom of the hour. We're going to step aside and send you to San Antonio, Westwood One's coverage of the national championship game. We are going to take our final timeout. We come back, Kyle is going to have a big board update for you, and then we'll share some parting thoughts on tonight's Michigan-Villanova national championship meeting, and then ask ourselves, what the hell are we going to talk about for the next several months here on this program? Back with more after this.
A list of things that will let you down today. Your alarm clock, C-store coffee, public transportation, the office elevator, the sandwich you packed for lunch, the fifth floor printer, your cell phone battery, the shoelace you swore you double knotted, your hard drive, your backup hard drive, and of course, the weather. Brighten your day with something you can actually count on. GoToMeeting is the easy-to-use collaborative meeting tool that 18 million monthly users trust to help them get work done. To learn more about how you can meet better, visit GoToMeeting.com.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. And now those parts and supplies come with more savings when you sign up for the AutoZone Rewards program. You'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. And right now, get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or Synthetic High Mileage in an STP Extended Life filter for $28.99 or upgrade to a Mobile One filter for $3 more. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide and let's get you what you need. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Game on!
Game on!
Yeah, speaking of Wayne's World, we were just talking about Ed O'Neill earlier in the program, making an appearance in Wayne's World as the manager of Stan Mikita's Donuts. This is unfortunate. I hope BJ and Marion wasn't watching the Astros game, but the Astros tried to unveil the World Series championship pennant tonight before their game, and they had some issues getting the tarp or the cloth, whatever was covering up said pennant. Took them a couple efforts to get it unveiled. So, omen? I hope not for the Astros, because I like them.
I don't think so, unless there are injuries.
And I'm heavily invested in Alex Bregman for the purposes of fantasy baseball this year. So Tristan Cockcroft coming through with some advice. The Hoboken Squat Cobblers, I think, are going to be in for a big year this year in the Daily Idiots Fantasy Baseball League. Fingers crossed. Put a hell of a roster together over the weekend. Kyle is with us. He's going to bring you your final big board update of the day. Here he is.
Iowa baseball got a big series victory this weekend on the road at 22nd-ranked Illinois, taking 2 out of 3, including a 7-5 victory on Friday, thanks largely to Robert Nystrom going 3-for-4 with a home run and a 4-2 comeback victory yesterday behind a strong start from Cole McDonald and some timely hitting late in the game. The Hawkeyes are now 16-9 and 3-2 in the Big Ten with all 3 victories against ranked opponents. Iowa football won an in-state recruiting battle over the weekend over Cedar Falls linebacker Jack Campbell. He visited the campus in Iowa City, and the 6'4", 210-pounder was set to be a Hawkeye by the time he left. He's a 3-star, the 6th-ranked recruit in Iowa, and chose Iowa over Iowa State and Minnesota. The Colonels solidified their opening day roster yesterday, and this year's team will be the first to feature 2 first-round picks since 2010, those being top overall picks shortstop Royce Lewis and outfielder Alex Kirilloff. There are 8 top 30 prospects in all, including pitchers Blaine Enloe and Tyler Watson, and position players Akil Badu, Jose Miranda, Andrew Bechtold, and David Benuelos. The Rough Riders dropped a pair of games over the weekend, 4-2 in Dubuque on Friday, and 5-4 in a shootout at home to the Chicago Steel on Saturday. We're going to be off the air here in just a few minutes as we pick up coverage of the national title game between Michigan and Villanova. You can hear coverage on all 3 KGYM frequencies, and that game's set to get tipped off around 8:20.
All right, we are going to have plenty of baseball talk for you this week with a local flavor. Colonels manager Toby Gardenhire set to join the program on Thursday. Cedar Rapids beginning the 2018 Midwest League season against the team that it ended the 2017 season with, the Quad Cities River Bandits. Colonels will open on the road Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday night they'll be at Veterans Memorial Stadium. You can get your first look at the 2018 Colonels tomorrow night. It's going to be Meet the Players Night at Veterans Memorial Stadium, and we'll have a little bit more information on that for you tomorrow during the program as well. Looking forward to another great season of Midwest League baseball. And also on the program tomorrow, how soon is too soon to worry about your favorite team? Perhaps there's a Major League Baseball team or two that are off to very slow starts that people in the area may be a little worried about. We'll ask that question. How soon is too soon? The question we're asking right now is, who wins tonight, Villanova or Michigan? It's the Emil's Hideaway poll question at KGYMradio.com. Vote now or simply keep it right here on KGYM and enjoy Westwood One's presentation of the game, which is headed your way right now.